In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples got into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Your people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman, but still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, 'The one sows and another reaps.' I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. They said to the woman, We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Can you hear his voice? Harden not your hearts. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
This is one of the central gospels of the Lenten season. And it tells us a lot about what our attitude should be. A theologian once said that every good story is about ourselves. And that's certainly true of this gospel we just heard of Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. This story tells us a lot about our own journey of faith. It tells us, for instance, that the gift of faith is truly a gift from God. In this story, it is Jesus who takes the initiative. He starts this dialogue by asking for a drink of water. He speaks first. It is always Christ who takes the first step, and he takes that first step not only because of who we are, but because of who he is, because that is the nature of God's love. You find that not only in this story, but in every story of faith. If you look at the Old Testament, it was by faith that Abel offered a worthy sacrifice. It was by faith that Noah built the ark. It was by faith that Abraham left kin and country for a great unknown. It was by faith that Sarah found the power to conceive. It was by faith that Moses confronted Pharaoh and led the Israelites out of slavery. And every time, it was in response to God's call. It's been the same all through the history of the church. 1,800 years ago, St. Augustine was gardening one day when he heard a voice tell him to take up the scriptures and read. When he picked up a Bible and he opened it, it was to Romans, to the passage that says, "Not in reveling in drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord." And Augustine, who had been doing most of those things, became a saint. He later wrote, "In that instant, all the darkness and uncertainty vanished." 160 years ago, an Anglican priest, John Henry Newman, looked deeply into the early writings of the church, looking for a deeper sense of faith. And he concluded through reading the lives of the saints that he should become a Catholic. Last fall, the church that he embraced named him a saint. Edith Stein, who fell away from her Jewish faith as a young woman, searched for truth in philosophy, and still she doubted. Then she read the autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila, and she wrote in the margins of the book, "This is the truth." Each of us has our own story of faith. It may have come through the example of a parent or the encouragement of a friend, or maybe you were inspired by a saint. But no matter how divergent our stories, one thing remains the same. The invitation that brought you here started with Christ. And it is our relationship with Christ that will help us endure. We live in a world that is often challenging, and sometimes it's frightening as well. We worry when things like a coronavirus emerges. It reminds us that life isn't totally within our control. And this can be a real spiritual challenge too. Some people with a simplistic faith wonder why God would let bad things happen. Though if you read the story of Job in the Old Testament or the story of Jesus in the New, you find that blaming God when bad things happen is kind of a dead-end approach. When Job faced his adversities and when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, they didn't blame God. They asked God for strength. It's what saw them through. We are not the first people in history to face a health crisis. In the time of Jesus and for 20 centuries after, one of the most feared diseases in the world was leprosy, what we know today as Hansen's disease. There was no cure for it until modern medicine found one, and people for years lived in real fear. In 1840, a young man in Belgium named Joseph de Vester entered the seminary hoping to become a missionary. He took the name Damien, and eventually he was sent to Hawaii, which was still an independent nation and where leprosy was particularly feared. There was no treatment, so those who contracted it were consigned to a desolate place on the edge of the island of Molokai, with the ocean on three sides and an impassable mountain on the other. They were left there with no resources and with little hope. Young Father Damien de Vester was sent to Molokai along with three other priests. Damien was the only one who stayed. For years he worked among those people, celebrating the sacraments, bandaging their sores, burying the dead, and comforting those who survived. With the carpentry skills he had learned as a young man, he built houses, churches, and an orphanage, and he created a water system. But mostly, he gave them hope. Eventually, Damien contracted the disease himself, but he remained undeterred and continued to serve his people to the end of his life. Hansen's disease finally found a cure, and the colony on Molokai is mostly a memory today. But an important part of that memory was the work of Father Damien. In 1969, the state of Hawaii finished its new state capital, and a centerpiece at its entrance is a statue erected to represent the spirit of the Hawaiian people. The statue is of Father Damien. In 1969, he was declared a hero of the Hawaiian people, and in 2009, he was named a saint. Over and over again through history, this has been the story. The human race is faced with some crisis, some disease or illness, or the challenge of the unknown. Science and medicine, we know, will play an essential role in how this story turns out. But there is a spiritual dimension, too, that will help define the cure. Where is God in the midst of illness and times of crisis? Father Damien would tell you, he's here, in us, in how much of ourselves we are willing to share, caring for our neighbors, showing compassion, dealing with the inevitable inconvenience and disruptions with grace and good humor, being a source of strength for those who are afraid. Faith begins with God, but it doesn't end there. For Jesus in our gospel, the living water he offered the Samaritan woman was not simply pious talk or some poetic metaphor. It was the Spirit of the living God he was offering her. What happens to each of us when we believe, when we commit ourselves completely to Christ, is that God's own Spirit comes to us and begins to work through us, and we are transformed.
Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence. Let us come with great thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing our psalms to him.
Direct, O Lord, the hearts of your faithful, and in your goodness grant your servants your grace, that abiding in the love of you and of our neighbor, we may fulfill the whole of your commands. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us go in peace to glorify the Lord with our lives. Thanks be to God.